Good morning, everybody. My name's Michelle. Who's ready to open up the Word of God? Are we ready online, ready to be able to open up the Word of God? It is so great that everyone's here. I'm even seeing some waving up the back there. They're real keen to get open into this, into the Word of what we believe is truth and life. And as we apply that to our lives, that it will transform us. Do we agree? Who's been transformed by the Word of God? I certainly have, and I know that to be true for us today as we open that up. And we're going to be looking in, there's only weeks until Easter, people, weeks. Who saw that Easter eggs were on sale last week? You know, the chocolate speckled eggs are a bit of a weakness. They were half price last week. But anyhow, we are just a few weeks into coming into Easter. One of these amazing moments for us as those that follow Jesus, having this faith in him, that we come around the Easter weekend to be able to celebrate his death and his resurrection. And in mindful of that, as I was early on in my faith journey, and I'm not sure if anyone's here and you and Dean also mentioned that, if you are new, just, you know, relax, take it easy. But for me, as I got started on this faith journey, I'm like, there's the death, there's the resurrection. What do we do at Christmas? And then there's his birth. And I used to get myself all jumbled up and like overwhelmed by all the information. But can I tell you, if you're new on this journey and you're here this morning or watching online, there is just maybe a moment that maybe even through worship God has spoken to you, or there's a little line or a little phrase or something that God speaks and stands out to you. Take that and apply that, and that will transform you. A little by little, all we say over here is that we're a tribe of believers on a journey, and each one of us, all we do is take a step at a time, a week at a time, and over time, we see the difference in our life because of a Saviour who came and has transformed our lives. So we are starting a series today as we lead into Easter called Easter People. And this is a series that has come from Life Church. And we are going to look at different individuals who have encountered Jesus on the resurrection of his death. He's rose again. And we're going to look at some of these individuals that have interacted with Jesus along that way. And in that, and the story that we'll be looking at today is Thomas. So if you've been around church for a while, you may immediately think of something that stands out for Thomas, but we'll hold that for just a minute. And his interaction, we're going to look at that story in John chapter 20, and this story of Thomas and how Jesus appears to Thomas. And what I'm aware of is that Jesus is in the midst of us today, that he may have already spoken and your heart has connected with him through that moment of worship. And here we continually just lean in with our open hearts and open ears to be able to hear what he would say to us today. But as we look at the story of Thomas, have you ever used these words or heard this phrase of, I've seen enough? Has anyone ever, like, I've seen enough, use those words? I'm reminded of a time, I quite like The Royal Show. And remember the time that there's been many occasions when I've been, and there is the sales reps that show you how to, you know, grate all the cabbage and julienne, and then they're shaving it, and I'm like, I just want to go and buy this thing, and they keep going on, and the presentation goes on for about 20 minutes, but I'm like, just stop, I've seen enough. I want that thing, I need that thing. And I buy it, and it stays in its wrapper, and there is no grating, there is no shredding, there is no slicing, there is no dicing happening, until a few years later, I see it again. I'm like, I need that thing in my life. And I buy it, and I may have used it once or twice. But you may have occasions where you're like, you know, you've come across a sales rep or something that you're wanting, and this whole presentation goes on, and you're like, stop, I've seen enough. Give that to me. I want to buy that thing. So today's message is called, I have seen enough. I have seen enough. And we're going to open that up. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to look at John chapter 20, verse 24 over here. And we're going to read along together. They're up on the screen here. Now, Thomas was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Can we pray for a moment as we open up the word? Jesus, just as you're in the room with those disciples, where you appeared to them, you are in the room in the midst of us today, in the room with those streaming and watching online. And that, Jesus, you see where we're at. You know our story, you know our journey, you know the things we're carrying, you know where we're at today. And I pray for anyone this morning, that peace upon us. And that, Jesus, that in this peace and in your presence of who you are, may there be life in your name. So would you do something in the midst of us? Change me, change all of us that are here willing to be hearing your word and be transformed by it. As we meet together, may you flood life through this gathering. May you flood life through every room and space that is watching online, that we would be unified under that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. So this idea of I have seen enough. In this day, what is really easy to be able to take away something that we have seen, something that we have encountered, something that we have resonated with, whether you're a follower of Jesus and you have seen Jesus and you know Jesus, or whether there is something that in your life where you have seen it and experienced it. But what we have in our day that can be opposing to those things is that there is, it's even easier than ever before to be a skeptic. That there are many things out there, or you may even be in a conversation with somebody, and there might be some people here that love to do this, I certainly do, where you're maybe hearing someone's conversation, you're like, hang on, I'm not sure about that. Quickly turn around, do the quick Google, like, is that a fact? Is it true? Is that correct information? Who's out there? Come on, let's be honest. Right? We all do this. Like, we are skeptics sometimes of what we're seeing, what we're hearing. There is stuff out there that ever before where we are, have so much access to information to be able to research and grab that correct information, where people may tell us one thing in your life. Do you hear it even sometimes in our conversations where, you know, there's a group of us and we're like, oh, maybe it's this. And the next person's like, maybe it's that, maybe it's that. Then, you know, the Carly Smythe's like, hang on, I'll find out the facts for us. And then she gets the facts and we're like, okay, why were we all even in this discussion? I don't know. So when there's things that are being sold, or there is stuff that is coming our way, when we see advertisements, when we nowadays where there's these scammers that are creating these things that look so much like the real thing and yet they're not. Where, you know, you see where there's up on Facebook, listen, there's so many advertisings that come up. And, you know, you could be 80 years old, but if you just take this one cream for 1 week, wowee, you're going to look like you're 20. And they give you the images and they give you everything. You're like, I'm sold. Let's get that thing. Or the pill that you can take. And, you know, don't worry about exercising. Don't worry about eating healthy. Don't worry about all these things. Just take this tablet and you will be looking your prime, kilo shredded. Or work from home. For 20 hours, that's all. You don't even need to drive to work, you don't even bother with people, and you'll earn $200,000. Just do that. Or, you know, give me your bank account. There's money owing to you. Just give me your bank account details, and I'll get it to you. More so than ever before, are we alert? Are we hyper alert and maybe skeptic sometimes of what we hear, what we see, what is true, what is not? That there is these things in our head that makes us look at, well, is that actually really true? Do I believe that thing? There is a little bit of skepticism in us all. Nowadays, when I go and do online banking and you're paying someone, a big alert will come across the screen alert of scammers. Like, be sure you're paying a trusted person. That more so than ever before, we are seeing this in all different spaces. We are seeing that there's things that appear to be real, but they're not necessarily real. And so as we start this conversation about Thomas, beginning that conversation where he is told by his friends, Jesus has risen from the dead. And for everyone out there, what is Thomas famously known as? It's rough, isn't it? Who wants to be known as Doubting Thomas? It's just really rough. And I'm just going to do a counter to that because, you know, can we all just agree? Who's had a bit of doubt in their life? Right? So we're all there with Thomas. And now all these years ago, that Thomas's story is still being told, and we today are still holding that Thomas is famously known as this Doubting Thomas, that his disciples have gone to him and they're like, we've seen Jesus appeared. He's risen from the dead. And he's famously known about this moment of where he doubts, where he is known for today in this moment. But yet, there are moments in his life through the Bible where we see where he was honest when Jesus was talking to the disciples and they're all like not saying a word, they're keeping quiet because they probably don't even know what he's saying. But in this moment, Thomas fronts up and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. So there's Thomas the honest, right? There's Thomas the honest. And then there's this other moment where Jesus is going to Lazarus and then at that point, Thomas is with the disciples and he huddles them and he says, come on, let's go. In our tribe here at True North, I'd say he's hungry, right? He's like, Jesus is going, I'm going with him, and rallies his people and he takes off. And yet poor Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. What is really quite amazing for all of us is that Jesus doesn't know us by our biggest mistakes. Jesus doesn't know us by our mistakes. And that in this room today, and I know certainly for my life, there has been some big mistakes where I'm like, beat myself over it, where others may remind us of our mistakes. But what is true of Jesus is that anyone in this room, I'll have to speak to someone in this room, maybe someone watching online, your biggest mistake is not seen because of what Christ has done in us. That what it says, that as we make these mistakes, and we'll all make mistakes, is that in Christ Jesus, as we ask for forgiveness, that God, in how he sent his son here for each one of us, that Jesus has covered those mistakes, Jesus has covered our sin, that God sees us in the light of what Jesus Christ has done, that we have no sin in us. That is, the blood of Jesus Christ covers that. And so we are not known by our mistakes. So for someone here today, and maybe you're like, I've made a big mistake, Michelle. So have I. But God says he is so quick to forgive us that as we come to this moment, to the table, that we bring our mistakes. We bring those moments that fall short of God. And we bring it, and as we remember what Christ has done, and we say, thank you, God, for what you've given to me in your son, that no longer do we walk in those patterns, but we turn and we walk the other way because of what Christ has done for us. There is freedom in that. That as Thomas is known all these years ago as Doubting Thomas, you are not known by your mistakes. Because in Christ Jesus, in the transformation of what he does in our lives, that we are set free from those things and we become anew in him. That we can walk in that newness, in the new life of Christ Jesus. Turning from our patterns, turning from our mistakes, turning from all those things that want to hold us back. To be able to be free in the life of what Christ has done for us. You are not known by your mistakes. You are not to be held back by your mistakes. To be free from those. And so we see Thomas here. And so he is known by this mistake. Although his life has had all different ideas, and we see Thomas's life going on to be amazing in what he's done for Christ Jesus. But there comes this point where Jesus has died. Now, in Thomas being one of the disciples and one of his people, where he would see Jesus up close, front row, walking with Jesus, seeing the miracles of Jesus, seeing the encounters of feeding all those people, that he saw all this. And Jesus even pre-warns them to say that, you know, be prepared, I'm going to be going to the cross. And yet, in that moment, and can I encourage us in this? Yet in that moment of someone who was having that front row of Jesus and saw that Jesus died, Thomas wasn't in the room. Thomas walked the other way. There was some doubt that rose up in Thomas. There is this moment of unbelief. He's like, well, you know, in this moment of where Jesus has died, he's going to rise again. Then the moment of Jesus dying and going, Thomas in that moment says, it's too hard. I don't know what I've believed. I don't know. And there's this doubt that comes in his life. And for us today, there may be that journey of faith that we get. And where there are things that may particularly get into this crisis point of where we may make those decisions of what do I believe? What is happening that in these moments where there are valley moments and you're hoping for blue skies and yet I'm still trudging through the dark valley, or whether there is moments where you're praying and believing that God, would you move this mountain from in front of me? And yet the mountain's still staying. That in those moments where Thomas gets to that space, where the other 10 are in the room, but there was this unbelief and there was this doubt that came. Can I say to us today that there is still hope when there's this skepticism in us, that there is hope that can come, that we see this in the life of Thomas, that although he had that moment of I won't believe unless Jesus came and appeared. Jesus came to him. So there is hope for each one of us in those moments where, God, I don't know if I continue to walk through this hard season. Can I tell you, keep walking. There is hope. There is hope in the name of Jesus. There is still hope when we tend to doubt, when we tend to have this unbelief. And as part of Thomas's journey, these next part in the text where it says, where there is two things that stand out. There is this absence and then there's unbelief. That they are fueled by one another. That what we see here, that Thomas is not with the 10. And the greater the absence, the greater the unbelief. That in the absence of being away from his people, being away from his tribe, being away from those people that were going to journey with him, encourage him, where he brought his, I can't believe, or I don't understand this, or this is how I'm feeling. He didn't do that. He was not seen. He was absent. That he was isolated, that he was on his own. When the 10 were gathering, he was off to the side. And then in our absence, when we're isolated, when we're on our own, when we're away from those who are able to encourage us on the journey, that what can happen in us is they can just snowball more and more and more. The unbelief, the doubt, all those things that will make us weaker and weaker in our faith journey as we're absent from a group of people that would encourage us on the journey. That he, in this moment, was away from his 10. He is away from his people. He was away from the very ones that will be able to speak and encourage him in his journey of faith. He was isolated from them. He was absent from them. That unbelief could snowball in those moments. That his absence from that moment, would you agree? That I'm not sure if you've ever been in those moments where when we walk alone, when we're off doing our own thing, when we're isolated and recluse from the people that are going to help us, that we're no better off for it, are we? It's not helpful for our journey. It doesn't strengthen us in that pathway. In Hebrews 10, 25, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In one commentary, it says here that by not meeting together, that this causes serious weakness. So I want to encourage us today that as we gather on a Sunday, and we're all in this room together, that we would keep a habit of coming together. That there will be moments in our faith journey where we get rocked, where we get maybe a little bit of doubt, where we start to think, is this all worth it? Can I tell you to keep in that habit of gathering together? Because as we're isolated, what does it say? We become weaker for it. As we're together, strengthening, encouraging, equipping one another, being in this space where we are worshiping God and in this space where Jesus can appear to us, that he can speak to us, that we can hear him, that he can do something in our life. There is something special that happens when we come together. Would we agree? Would we agree? Are you strengthened for it as you come together? I know I certainly am. On some of those Sundays where I feel like, you know, can't be bothered going to church. This is going to be hard. I'm like, there's got all this stuff going in my life. I've messed up this week and I've got all this stuff going. You come into the room and how much better are you for it? How much for it? Like, I remember hearing Brad's story just this last week. And he's like, every week I felt like Laura was telling the preachers about my life. There is something in that, that God will do in our lives, that as we gather together. These 10 met, and there has been generation of generation on a Sunday of people coming to gather together, to equip one another, to encourage one another, that we would go out of this place to be disciples and followers of Jesus. We come together to be able to go out. We come together in that space. Let us not give up that habit of coming together. We feel the difference when people aren't in the room. We feel it when you're not in the room. There is something that you bring that will strengthen one another. There is something that we lose when you're not in the room. So I'd encourage you to equip one another, be encouraging one another, and to be able to come into the room with that. Thomas felt abandoned and did that exact opposite thing. That rather coming into that space where he was going to be able to get all that he needed to be able to continue to walk that faith journey, he's like, I don't believe. I'm not going to go. I'm absent. I'm not sure where he was. And he was separated from them. But what we do see is that as we do gather, what we can do in this moment, that as we're in this room, what I'd love that our church would be a part of is that you would know people around you, that you would know your circle, your people, the people that you gather with. And when they're not here, that we would be able to message and encourage and say, I missed you today. Say, the room wasn't the same, you weren't in here. That we would be that body of believers that would be encouraging one another in that. You see over here what had happened from the week before to now, the following week, is those 10 disciples went out and they've had this encounter with Jesus and now they've gone off and they're like, in their persistence and in their kindness, they go to Thomas and they're like, Thomas, Jesus has appeared to us. And they're going there and we see in that next week that Thomas is now in the room. That Thomas is in the room. Who is it that's not in the room today that we need to encourage? Who is it that maybe is going through something we do not know of, who needs a text message today? That we would be the church, that we would be that community. It's not left up to a few people, but for each one of us, we are strengthened as a result of us coming together. So we would be looking out and be mindful of those that are not in the midst of us. Who can we encourage? Thomas is back in the room. And he's with his people, he's with his tribe, he's with his guys, he's with the crew. And Jesus appears to them. And Thomas is there, and Jesus appears to him, and he says to him, "Peace, Thomas, peace be with you." That he's being away that last week, or having this doubt and having this unbelief and having all of this as he's in the room, Jesus says, "Peace to you, Thomas. Peace to you, Thomas. May peace be with you." And Thomas's statement, remember what he said earlier. He says, "I won't believe unless I can put my finger in those wounds, unless I can see that for myself, I am not going to believe." Jesus appears to him in this moment. No longer does Thomas need to touch and feel and see. He's like, "Jesus, you appearing to me is enough. I have seen enough to believe. I have seen enough." Thomas, where he thought he needed all these other things, actually all he needed was to see Jesus. No longer is his phrase, "I won't believe unless." He's like, "In the light of Jesus, in the light of who he is, I believe. I believe. I don't need to touch. I don't need to see all those other things. That Jesus, your appearance is enough for me." There's this phrase that we often would say, or seeing is believing. But over here, what Jesus says, he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed." That while he works with our doubt and he works with our unbelief and he works with Thomas of where he's at, and he appears to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, show me your hand. You can touch it, you can feel it." And he's like, "No, God, I've seen enough." In Hebrew 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That believing is seeing. That as we would be able to have that faith to believe of the things that we have not seen yet. That as we are walking through those difficult times, as we're walking through and believing and holding faith for the things that are yet to be seen, that we would hold our ground to be able to believe for those things. That what I'm amazed at in that story of Thomas is from the week he was not there to the week he was there, his disciples going out in persistence and kindness to be able to draw him back in the room. He has this encounter with Jesus, and his life is transformed ever since. That his life was sold out for the faith and for the cause of who Jesus is to the point of death. That his life was transformed. That as we have faith to believe, maybe those ones that we've been praying for and have not come yet into this room, that we will have faith and believe for the things that have not yet seen. That we would have faith that rises in us to believe for things that are not yet seen. It says, "Blessed are those that will believe for those things." Blessed are those that we would have a faith to believe for those things that are not yet seen as though they are. So if we maybe are believing for something today, that we need a little faith to believe for those things. As we wrap up today, I'd love to pray for us this morning. I'd love to invite you on your feet if you would. In the story of Thomas, that there are mistakes that he made. There are mistakes in his life that Jesus erased and cancelled out. And I'm not sure if there's anything in your life that you're holding on to. Something that's like, "I keep holding on to this." Jesus doesn't need you to hold on to it anymore. That as you're able to ask for forgiveness, that he is quick to forgive. And also, I'd love to pray for a faith to believe. To be able to pray for maybe you're believing for something that you can't see yet. I would love to take a moment and be able to pray for you. There's something you're carrying, or maybe something God's speaking to you about, and you just want prayer for that. I'm going to invite, if there is a response that you want prayer for, to be able to come down the front as our team leads us. And we're going to pray that Jesus who appeared to Thomas in that room, Jesus is in the room with us today. We're going to pray and believe for these things. So I'm going to invite you to, as a team, lead us, and they're going to just play, and we're going to invite you to come down the front if you want prayer for anything. We'd love to pray for you in those things.